We talk a lot about it, and we encourage all of our listeners regularly that when you hear words being used, get the definition established, define the terms. So define, Dave, for us, the simple definition, as best you can, of truth. What is truth?
Well, Sam, I would say this. Truth is conformity to reality. Conformity to reality. It is an admission of that which is real, that which is factual. Let me give an example. The facts of the matter is this. We have in our homes outlets that have electricity running through them, or to them, rather. You can take a bobby pin, a nail, or something else. You could stick it in that outlet. Why would you want to do that? But if you did, the fact or the reality is this. If you do that, you're going to get shocked. You're going to get electrocuted. You're going to get burned. We can deny that fact or deny that reality, but it is a denial of the truth. It is a denial of what is. And so I would say the most simple, basic definition of truth is conformity to that which is real.
All right, Dave, conformity to that which is real. So let's just use that as an example, as the definitional base. I think it's clear enough. We'll expand more upon it. Gary, let me go to you with this important question. We know, and I'm saying that because the statistics are there, we know that there's been a wholesale rejection of the concept of what we refer to as absolute truth by our culture. It means that there are some things, these things that Dave is talking about, this conformity to reality, some things that are always true. And actually, it's crept within the Church of America, where we know so many don't believe any longer in absolute truth. We talk about it on this program continually. My question to you is, why is the recognition and the acceptance and the embracing of absolute truth, which stands in contrast to relativistic truth or changing truth, why is that important, and what is the source of absolute truth?
Well, you know, if there is no absolute truth, then anybody can do that which is right in his own eyes. And of course, we know that that was the case back in the Old Testament book of Judges. I want to encourage people to get their Bibles. Not now, we don't have time, but get your Bible and read Isaiah chapter 59, because in Isaiah 59, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. Why? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey," and so forth. That was given about 700 years before the time of Christ, and you need to read that entire chapter to see what he's talking about. But here's the point. When you do away with absolute truth, you do away with judgment, and you do away with justice, and that's where we are today. As it relates to absolute truth is found in God. It's found in God's Word, and the reason why we are turning away from absolute truth to truth that is not absolute, truth that is relative, is because of the fact that people are taking the Word of God completely out of their lives. They are removing the source of truth from their lives when they remove God and His Word from their lives.
Okay, Gary, you laid it out very well. If we walk away from truth, we lose judgment and justice, and the source of truth identified as God and God's Word. David New, let me go to you now from a legal perspective. You're a constitutional attorney perspective. That's the framework in which you operate. How does truth factor into law that is made, or truth as it would relate to, for instance, court proceedings or testimony by a witness or law that it would be enforced by the executive branch? How does truth factor into those items in civil government?
Well, truth factors into law really from the great lawgiver, and that is in Exodus, the third chapter, verse 2. That is one of the greatest lessons of truth. Comes from Moses, the lawgiver, where he receives a vision from God. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, the traditional definition is that the bush represents Israel. The flames represent the trials and tribulations that Israel will endure. But the bush not being consumed by the fire means that Israel will never be destroyed. There is another view of this passage, and that is reality, ultimate reality. The science man says, unless I can see it, feel it, smell it, taste it, or hear it, it's not real. It's not true. The physical laws dominate the universe. They are reality. They are truth. Moses, in this vision, is being taught a different lesson. There is a higher law, the spiritual law. Even though the bush is on fire, it's not consumed because spiritual principles supersede the physical universe. Spiritual principles are eternal truths that never change. That is the ultimate reality, the ultimate truth.